Hi, I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee, Executive Editor at Information Security Media Group. I'm here at the HealthSec Conference in Boston, and I'm speaking with Michael Prakai, who is the CISO at Adventist Healthcare in Maryland. He is also Chair of the Advisory Council for the Summit. Hi, Michael.
Hello.
So, Michael, we've been listening so far at the summit here about, you know, some of the threats that the healthcare sector is facing, ransomware, phishing, you know, you name it. What are you most concerned about right now, and what is your organization doing in terms of sort of tackling the latest threats?
Well, hi, Marianne. Good morning. Top of mind for everyone that I've talked to and for myself is definitely ransomware. It is not a surprise of any kind. What we started really looking into in terms of ransomware, we started looking into where is it coming from, and it's a spider web of information. And when you look at ransomware, as I see it, it is an outcome. It is a final result of something happening within the organization. And there are so many different things that can be done. And as was said today during the conference, we police ourselves, and we have new frameworks coming out, and the government is starting to put controls in place, such as CPGs and everything else that the healthcare systems should potentially follow. But it's important that the CPGs, the 10 and the 10, the essentials and enhanced, are just the minimum of what needs to be done. And potentially all of these should already be done. Where I'm looking at ransomware, when I think about how do we protect the organization against it, there are several ways that you want to have your security program structured. And for us, we structured against a framework, specifically a NIST cybersecurity framework, that has now been renewed to 2.0 by the National Institute of Standards and Technology, where you can follow and look at how your organization is doing and make sure that it's appropriately configured and set up. And there are ways that you can get your organization on board and use a framework of your choice, whether it's NIST or anything else, to budget and to roadmap and to look at the tools and solutions that you may be missing, any of the gaps, and then bring it up to your leadership, whether it's the board or any other subcommittees, and justify what you need to purchase and why and where the gaps are depending on where this framework may lead you. So to answer the original question, yes, ransomware is definitely top of mind now, but there are so many different ways as to how ransomware can occur within the organization. There are so many ways inside the organization. Some of these things are just critical to close. These basic cyber hygiene configurations. You know, we can talk about MFA, we can talk about third and fourth party is what we call it now, protection, phishing, social engineering, all of these come into play, but these are just the vectors, these are just the methods that the bad guys and the threat actors can use and utilize to get into the organization, start to do discovery and move laterally to get to the goal of ransomware.
So you mentioned the CPGs, and indeed the Department of Health and Human Services issued these essential and then also enhanced CPGs earlier this year. And there's some discussion that the CPGs might turn to be not so voluntary. They might become mandatory for certain organizations, especially those that are participants in Medicare and Medicaid. What's your take? You know, should these CPGs indeed become sort of linked to kind of sticks and carrots with Medicare payments? Is that enough to incentivize organizations that might be lagging? And will these CPGs actually solve all the problems? There's like so many different things that could occur as technologies themselves evolve and the attackers also evolve their tactics.
I really like the CPGs, but I may like them for a different reason. They are a really good list of basic things that any healthcare organization should do. Now, if you are a smaller rural healthcare organization, you may not have the resources or the money or the time to do everything you need to do to protect yourself. So the list consists of 20 different items split into two groups. The essential items which will be hopefully required. And they talk about you have to perform phishing exercises and you have to have things like MFA in place. Those things are just basic hygiene that everyone should have regardless. Now, it won't stop everything, but it will stop things that drive-bys, or if something happens to your account, at least, you know, the bad actors cannot just come in and have a front door just open for them, and they have some kind of protection. So those are just basic things that have to be done, and they don't talk about investing into some AI solutions that are on the market now that you can add on top of things. They won't help you unless you have these cybersecurity hygiene basic things in place. And the second list are the enhanced things, and they will probably be focused a little more on a more mature organization. But as I look at the list, if you are mapped to a framework, whether it's HICCP or NIST, and you comply with that, you will likely cover all of these 20 already, so you don't really have to worry about it. But the list is really good for smaller organizations who don't have a lot of experience. Not only they tell you what you need to do, but they really go deep down into the description. Each one describes as to what it's for and how you do it. So CPGs, I think, is a great idea, and it's a lot of work has been done to make it work.
Now, we've seen some really large attacks so far this year. You know, of course, the cyber attack on Change Healthcare and the impact that it's had on provider organizations, you know, disrupting their business processes, their payments, so on and so forth. And it will also turn into a data breach affecting millions of people. Any lessons that you see emerging from that incident from the get-go? Or is this sort of the same as we've been seeing, only multiplied because of the company being such a large company? Anything new coming out of this?
There were multiple, like you said. Change Healthcare obviously is a big one. We also are following closely with Ascension Health, which is also a really big healthcare system. And for us, that particular breach and ransomware attack hits close to home because they are the providers. They are a hospital system in multiple states that provides care for patients. And I follow that closely to see what the end result will be or how are they dealing with it, because there are always lessons learned. And it's really just a big mess that they have in their hands. And unfortunately, it impacts patient care. And the goal for us is to learn from mistakes of somebody else, unfortunately. And the way that I'm looking at it, and the way that I'm looking at all of these breaches and ransomware incidents that occur, is I'm looking to see how it happened. Obviously, we will not know most of the time for months as to what has occurred, if the organization paid the ransom or not, which is something that is a personal choice for each organization. But ransomware gets in, and my goal is to understand what are the critical entry points and how does it happen. So as an example, one way that we want to protect the organization against ransomware and incidents like this is to look at third party. There's sometimes third parties have a lot of access to the systems, and as the third party is compromised, they really look at a vendor or a company that has access to other systems as a way to move laterally from there through VPN or otherwise into the other organization. So sometimes the organization is intact and has not been compromised, but the vendor who supports it has been, and then that's their way in. So that's really important to understand that is really an avenue for somebody to get in. So if there's, and we're talking, you know, I think SolarWinds is a good example, right? Breaches happen quite often now, and an example of that would be MOVEit. Now, there was no compromise, but there was a breach of data. Organizations used MOVEit to store and transfer data, and then that data got compromised. And then whatever is within that data, you know, they can use to perform not necessarily a ransomware attack, but they could really go after these people, after these organizations, and say, okay, pay us if you don't want us to release it. Other ways to really get in into the system is social engineering, which is everybody is very aware of that is still a case. And in one of the sessions this morning, one of the presenters talked about, well, three strikes and you're out. I think it's it's a good strategy. However, within healthcare, especially provider health, when you have nurses and you have providers and doctors who really focus on providing patient care, and that's what they therefore, it's really difficult for somebody to go ahead and, hey, we're going to fire this doctor, right? So we have to really find a balance between security and business. And that is something that you can do. You have to really think outside the box. Perhaps you don't fire the individual, but you limit their access. As an example, you may go ahead and limit their external email access. And now they will have to figure out how to do their job better. And the practice just culture algorithm makes sure that they learn, they meet with them individually and have that sort of a setup instead of three strikes and you're out. Because within healthcare, it's really difficult. It's not, you know, we are in a nonprofit space. It's not a commercial space. It's important to be flexible and understand the business and what, you know, how do we within cybersecurity and IT, how do we empower that business to go forward instead of, you know, being a roadblock.
And finally, Michael, what are you keeping your eyes on right now when it comes to cybersecurity technologies or promising either technologies or solutions or things that are emerging that you think have a lot of promise, particularly for healthcare?
Well, it's a two-edged sword for me. Whatever provides us promise also is a threat. In terms of the threat piece, CrowdStrike research just showed that 75% of all the incidents include fileless malware, which is not something you have to really, it's really hard to protect against. And, you know, the bad guys are living off the land. They are using the commands that are within the operating system, and there's nothing really to scan. That's why it's called fileless. So 75% of those incidents occurred through fileless malware. Then AI is coming up now. Obviously, it's a big buzzword. Everybody uses AI. People even put AI in their company names on the websites. Everything is AI. It doesn't matter where you look. People will say, we'll use AI, artificial intelligence, machine learning. But AI may be used to, in EDR space, for example, to alert and to respond much faster to an attack. But at the same time, AI is being used by attackers to develop better phishing emails. It's being used by attackers to attack an organization and adapt in real time to perform evasive maneuvers around your EDR. So it's a fight AI against AI, and it feels like most times, especially within healthcare, we are always a step behind as the bad actors develop some new technique because they try to think outside the box, and we try to figure out how do we stop that only after hearing about it. So it's really important to be proactive and I guess try to think as a hacker, what would you do next? But at the same time, they, if they're nation states, they are sponsored, they have unlimited resources, and you know, going after things like unpatched vulnerabilities, you know, Citrix, Exchange, anything that is public facing is critically important. Those are the things that you have to patch because those are the ones that we learned have caused all the big breaches, especially the Citrix. Anything that is out there in the public world is scannable, and if it doesn't have the latest patch and it has a vulnerability of any kind or a zero day, that is the first step of how they would come in, followed closely by social engineering and phishing because it's high impact and low risk for them. So those are the things I really keep my eye on.
Well, thank you so much, Michael. I've been speaking to Michael Prakai. I'm Marianne Kolbasek-McGee of Information Security Media Group. Thanks for joining us.